Hey, what a great building for church. We're out on the beach. How many of you guys are excited to do church on the beach today? Come on. Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, hey, if I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name is Adam Magana. I'm the lead pastor of Active Church, and it's going to be a great day. We got some fun things planned for you. Before I jump in, we're in a brand new series. We'll be in it. We're actually ending today. We're going to start a new series next week. But today, we're talking about Not Today. And I got to show you something. We have these shirts called Not Today, Satan. And how many of you guys just know, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you're like, man, I hope it's going to be a good day. You put this on, you're like, it's not today, Satan. I got you. So you can buy these at the merch area. Go talk to Miss Mary Ann. And who wants a shirt? Let's actually give one out. Let's give one right here. Boom. Sorry. I can normally throw, but didn't want to hit someone in the head. Hey, real quick, I want to let you guys know a couple things happening around church life. If you guys know anything about me, I was a youth pastor for almost 10 years, and I love student ministry. I love kids ministry. I got two kids. My wife and I have a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old, and right now we are investing in our active kids, our active youth. I believe that the next generation needs to be raised up in, rooted in the scripture, rooted in a biblical worldview. I just believe that. I believe it's better. I believe good things happen when people know that God loves them and he's for them. And so what we're doing, a couple things are happening around church life. This Wednesday in North County, we have we're getting a get together for youth. So there's going to be a youth hangout in North County. We want to have a couple different gatherings all throughout our county because we have people coming all the way from Orchid and all the way from Paso. And so SLO is kind of the middle point. And so we want to make sure that we're ministering to all over the county. And by the way, a little birdie told me in the next, I don't know, 12 months or so, we want to have a North County location. So we're praying about that. We're believing God for great things. So, yes. Young adults. Any young adults in the house? I'm young. I'm an adult. I'm 36. It's okay. But we're in this. She said, no, it's not. 18 to 29-ish is kind of young adults in church world. If you are 18 to 29, we're having a hangout next week, a week from today, after the 1:30 service. We're going to all kind of help clean up. We're going to put some chairs away. And then the young adults are going to meet Andrew. You guys are going to hang out on the beach. So bring your beach stuff. If you're a young adult, it's going to happen next week. A week from today, I'm getting some feedback, I think. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. All right. You guys ready to get in the Word? All right, cool. We are in a series called Not Today. And today, I'm going to help you. I think God is going to help some people, hopefully through my message, help you understand that there might be some heaviness going on around us. There might be some heaviness in your own life. There might be some heaviness happening, but I believe that God wants us to exchange heaviness for happiness. And you know, like, there's super spiritual people that say, well, God doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to be holy. And I'm like, yeah, but actually, no. The Bible, actually, the word blessed in the New Testament often is translated as happy. Like, God actually wants you to be happy. I think the people of God should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Can I get an amen? All right, we talk back in this church too. You can say amen. You can say that's good. You can say, come on, pastor, preach. If you want to take your time, that's also acceptable. All right, let me go ahead and read to you out of Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. And if I could get a timer, if we can't get the timer, that's okay. We'll be here. Hope you guys brought a lunch. We'll be here to about 4 p.m. today. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 is a messianic chapter. Messianic means Messiah. So when you read the Bible, remember, this isn't just words on a page. This was written for a specific people group. Isaiah was a major prophet. He was writing to encourage this people, the people of Israel. And he's writing 700 years before Jesus would walk the face of the earth. 700 years. And he writes this as a kind of a precursor to what God would do through Jesus Christ. And I want to read this to you today. I think God's going to speak to us. Here's what it says, Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I want to talk to you today about exchanging your spirit of heaviness for happiness. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for today. I pray a blessing over this time, Lord. Your word's already blessed. So, Lord, help us to receive what you want for us to receive. Let it fall on good soil. And, God, let us walk out of here in a few minutes changed and happier than we walked in, knowing that you are alive and well. And, God, you are not far off. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Verse 3, it says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If I could describe 2020 in one word, it's heaviness. Have you felt a little heavier? Like you talk to people, I explained it to someone, it's like, it's kind of like we all got a flat tire. And we pulled over and we put the tire on, with the new tire on, but it has this little donut. It's like not as big as the other tires. And it's like, do not exceed 40 miles per hour. So I feel like we're going along. And when I talk to people, I'm like, if you guys know about like Gallup Strength Finders, my top five gifts, my number one gift is positivity. Like, I'm not really talented, but I can encourage you guys. I can be like, yeah, we got this. But my positivity in this season, like, it's like my superpower is not working because everyone's kind of just, feeling heavy. What does a season of heaviness feel like? The spirit of heaviness is kind of like this. It's described as despair, doom, depression, darkness. It's not a season that you're like, yay, God. It's a season you're like, oh, God, help me. And so many people are walking around, I feel like, with just kind of a heavy spirit on them. And I want to help you replace that today. I hope in the next few minutes you feel like a little happier, like, okay, God's doing something. So how do we experience a change from heaviness to happiness? How does that happen in Scripture? According to Scripture, it's a clothing change. See, the prophet Isaiah is talking about a garment of praise. It literally, a priest, an Old Testament priest, would have specific garments that he would wear when he would go in to walk in and really to perform rituals on behalf of Israel. He'd come in, he'd say, I gotta atone the sins of Israel, I gotta sacrifice this, and he'd put on specific garments. In other words, I don't always feel like doing the right thing. I don't always feel like praising God. I don't always feel, but sometimes my motion can impact my emotion. We have a bunch of serve team members. How many of you guys thank God that we have people serving on our team, greeting, parking, setting up chairs, doing our tech? It's amazing. When they put on that serve team shirt, they're saying, I'm here to serve. I don't always feel like serving, but man, when I put that shirt on, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm putting on a garment of serving. The same way goes for a garment of praise. Now listen, here's what we have to understand. Instead of looking at every situation and looking down on what we can actually see and feeling like, man, I'm just bummed, we have to put on the clothing of praise every single day. It's so important not to handle the stress like the way the world does. What does the world do? Just go on Instagram, go on Facebook. It's negativity. It's complaining. Can you believe those people? It's no empathy. It's no understanding. Listen, I don't have to agree with you to listen to you. We were talking about this earlier. I don't have to agree with everyone in my circle to love them. As a matter of fact, there's times where in my own family, I'm like, I cannot disagree with you more, but I love you. Relationship always trumps everything else. Now, negativity, what is that? It's constant complaining. It's going, this stinks. But here's what we need to understand. For you today, if you have a spirit of heaviness on you, praise is the solution to your problem. And you're like, that sounds really cheesy, Pastor. You're telling me like I'm supposed to praise, like just lift my hands every morning. No. Praise, what's praise? It's focusing on what's right. How many of you you're like me. You see all the negatives in you and other people. It's real easy. Raise your hand. It's okay. You're at church. You can raise your hand. It's easy for you to see. You look at the mirror. You're like, ah. You look at other people. You kind of see the negative. Listen, praise is focusing on what's right. It's honoring others. It's celebrating others. It's thankfulness and gratitude, even in the midst of seasons that aren't really going the way you thought they would go, i.e. 2020. So if you want to be happy, here's what you have to do. You have to replace heaviness with honor. Now, I want to talk to you for a few minutes today about how praise can actually change your situation. Now, there's a difference between praise and worship. Only God should get your worship. There's only one God, and he's the only one that deserves your worship. Okay, we're all good on that? You don't worship yourself. You don't worship your girlfriend. You don't worship your spouse. You don't worship your kids, even though in America we seem to... That's a tough one. We do worship our kids sometimes. We love our kids. But guess what? God's first. He's the only one. Seek God first and his kingdom, and everything else will kind of be added to you. So here's the reality. Only God deserves your worship. He's number one. But listen, praise is just magnifying what's right. You can praise anybody. You could praise yourself. You could praise people that you don't even know. You could praise people that you just admire on TV or on, you're like, I really like that person. They stand up for what's right. Praise is different. So here's what I want to talk about for the next few minutes. How can we replace heaviness with praise? And how can praise change our situation? Here's how it is. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, we give you real practical stuff. And then at the end, we're going to practice praising again. We're going to praise at the end of this service. We're going to lift our hands. We're going to sing a song together intentionally so we can praise through this. So number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Praise people for what they're doing right. Praise people for what they're doing right. I'll never forget a few years ago, I was in Las Vegas at a church called VBF, Valley Bible Fellowship. Love VBF, and I was a youth pastor, and I had a couple that was a parent. They had two kids in our youth group, and I was pretty close to them, and they were not in a good place, and I think our other pastors were sick of talking to them about their same problems, so they're like, yeah, Adam, go ahead and counsel them, and I was like, all right, sounds good. So I never forget, I sat them down, and they were going through some stuff. She was actually making some really bad choices. There were some text messages found, and he was not happy, but he was really ready to do whatever he could, but she wasn't having it. So I sat him down. I was like, okay, I'm going to bring some praise into the situation. Hey, tell me what you love about your wife, bro. Tell me why you married her. And he's like, you know, and he actually said some really nice things. The whole time, she's sitting there with her arms crossed like, and I'm like, okay, now you go ahead and tell me about your husband. Why'd you marry him? She's like, I'm like, what do you love about him? She's like, nothing. Like, just like one thing, nothing. Look at him. He's lazy. Look at him. I have nothing nice to say about this man. I was like, oh my gosh. I don't like to, you call an ace, a spade, a spade. And in that moment, I realized something. There was no praise in that marriage. There was no praise, zero praise in that marriage. As a matter of fact, there was not one thing that she could find about him, and he was crushed. I looked at him, I'm like, bro, I get it. This is hard. Listen, when there's no praise in a relationship, I don't care if it's your marriage, your kids, your loved ones, your spouse, your coworkers, whoever it is, when there's no praise, there's heaviness. I'll give you an example. Let's play a game real quick. You guys want to play a game? Okay, cool. All right. I want you to do me a favor. Everyone's going to play. If you're watching at home, do the same thing, okay? You got to kind of stretch your neck muscles out because you're going to be looking around, but don't do it yet. In a moment, I'm going to give you like 5-10 seconds. I want you to find as many black objects in this vicinity as you can. And don't cheat yet. Look at me. Come on. Don't cheat. As many as you can in 5 to 10 seconds. Find as many black things as you can. 3, 2, 1, go. Count them in your head. Go, go, go. 1, 2, 3. Okay, got that. Keep going. All right, keep going. See who's got the smartest in the bunch. Who's the best? Who's the best in the bunch? Okay, 3, 2, 1. Okay, stop. All right. Raise your hand if you found at least 5 blue objects. Blue? I thought he said black. I did. You saw everything that you were looking for. And that's what's wrong with so many relationships. You're looking at all the wrong things. You're looking for all the reasons not to praise them. Oh, he didn't even pick up his clothes. Oh, he didn't even ask me. He didn't tell me I look good. I got a new hairdo. Even the guy at the grocery store told me I look good with my new hair. See, what's wrong with us sometimes is a reason why there's heaviness in our relationship is because we only see what we're looking for. What if we began to look for all the right reasons to praise the people in our lives? I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you're a non-believer, if you're like, I don't know about all this Jesus stuff. That will work. Take that to the bank. God wants you to lavish praise on the people that you love. And even if you don't love them, even that boss that you don't like, find reasons to praise him or her. Watch what happens. Listen, relationships will always be hindered when they lack honor. They're always going to lack. When there's no honor given, there is not going to be a strong relationship. I don't care what's happening. If you don't bring praise into that marriage, sir, you're going to lose her. Ma'am, if you don't start speaking praise to your husband, it's not going to work out. Or here's what the worst thing will happen. It'll work out for the rest of your lives, and you'll never experience the true intimacy that God wants for your marriage because it lacks praise and honor. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Praise. Increase the praise, increase the honor, and watch the heaviness as it begins to leave. Am I speaking to anyone this morning? You guys tracking with me? Okay, cool. All right. Oh, and also parents too. This is for me too. The more we praise our kids for the things they're doing right, the less we'll have to discipline them for the things they're doing wrong. I'm telling you, when I am intentional about finding good things that my kids are doing, I find that here's what happens. They start acting better. When I'm always coming home and go, what are you doing, Brixton? What are you doing, Hallie? And I begin to get that dad voice. I'm like, when did I become such a dad? Who left the light on? We got to start praising. Here's what happens. You need to start spotting the gold in other people instead of just pointing out all the dirt. Look what Philippians says. Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 8, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, everyone say true. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And don't just think about them. Here's your homework this week. When you think it and you start seeing it, say it. When you see something going on, I don't care if it's your team that you're leading at work, the people that you're working with, the people that you're living with, if it's your spouse, when you see something that you think, man, that's praiseworthy, don't just see it, say it. Yeah, write that down. You can just go home now. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll see you next week, right? But I got two more points, so don't leave yet. Number two, write this down. Praise. Now, before I say this, I got to frame this. Don't worship yourself. Praise yourself when you do the right things. What am I saying? Am I saying that you should never worship yourself? That's weird. That's not God. But here's what I want to tell you guys. When you are making wise decisions, how many of you know you're so good at tearing yourself down when you make bad decisions? Oh my gosh. I've made some bad decisions during COVID. I decided to get a dog during COVID. Someone's like, I love dogs. Me too. But you don't know about Olive. Olive is a labradoodle. We're still praying for her salvation. We're not sure if she's demonically possessed or not. No, she's cute. But here's what the problem with Olive. She eats everything. I made a really bad decision. I forgot that I left our bathroom door open. And my dog likes to eat everything in the bathroom. She'll go into like the cupboard. She can get into the cupboard. And she got into my wife's lady stuff cupboard, okay? Yeah, real talk. And I came out of the bathroom, or I was downstairs bathroom. I heard her running upstairs. I'm like, what's she doing? And I come upstairs, and I know she's got something in her mouth. And she's got this thing, and this thing's hanging out her mouth. And I'm like, Olive, no, 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 no. And before I can even stop her, she swallows it. I'm like, oh, no. I immediately Google, what happens if your dog swallows a tampon? It's not good, ladies and gentlemen. It's not good at all. there's things, acids that build up. Your dog will die. And I'm like such like, I'm like preparing for my message. I'm like, yes, God, praiseworthy. And the kids come in and I'm like, our dog's going to die. Our dog's going to die, Stacy. You left the thing open. We're like fighting. What happened? What? I'm like, she ate a tampon. We rush her to the hospital down the street. And this is no joke. It's not a made-up story. True story. She didn't just eat one. She ate three, ladies and gentlemen. Cost me $500. I'm making bad decisions lately. Shouldn't have got a dog. At least I didn't get a cat, right? Someone's like, I don't like this guy. I love cats. I'm just joking. My wife hates cats, but you can talk to her about that. She's allergic. She's allergic. But you made some bad decisions too. You were on a diet pre-COVID. You were doing good. You almost had a six pack. And then COVID hit. You're like, Krispy Kreme, here I come. You're like, oh, you know what sounds good? Just everything. But praise yourself when you're doing something right. Here's what 2 Timothy 1:7 says. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but God gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Did you know that one? That's something that God gives you. So when you do something right, I'm just here to tell you, some of you are at church this morning and you're like, I did not think last week I would be sitting in church. Praise God that you're here at church. Give yourself a round of applause for being at church. Everything the enemy is throwing at you this morning. Oh, you shouldn't go to church. You shouldn't serve. You're not good enough. Here's what the Bible tells us, that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses you and he lies. So here's what we got to tell Satan. Not today. Not today. You need to tell yourself, you know, David, when he was in being, literally being attacked, being about to be killed by Saul, you know what happened? In 1 Samuel, we see this happen. He's in a cave. He's hiding for his life. And he begins to encourage himself in the Lord. Some of you need to tell yourself, you know what? You're not where you need to be, but you are farther than you were last year. So good job, Adam. You're doing better than you think. And I'm not talking about just self-help. I'm talking about encouraging yourself in the Lord, saying, man, God, I know I'm not where I want to be, but man, I'm not where I used to be. When you say no to that temptation where it used to, that used to just, you got the phone call from that friend, you were there already. You say, you know what? I said no to that because I know that's not where I want to be that's not where I'm heading. My life isn't heading in that direction those guys are going anymore. So no, I can't do that anymore. Not because I don't love these guys, because that's not the direction my life is going in any longer. Does that make sense? Oh, poor Olive. I love her. Number three, write this down if you're taking notes. If you're not taking notes, write it down. Praise God for who he is and what he has done in your life. Some of you are not going through a praiseworthy season right now. I'm going to have the band come up actually right now. This could be the shortest sermon I ever preached. Because I think we need to spend some time praising God. See, you already know who God is. You don't need me to tell you. You can Google God. You can Google all about God. You can download the YouVersion Bible app, and you can go through Bible studies all day long. And how many of you know it's not information you need, it's revelation. And that doesn't happen through just hearing some guy speak. That happens through you and God just going to battle together, saying, God, I can't do this. But I praise you for who you are, because even though my situation, even though my marriage isn't where it needs to be, even though my finances aren't where they need to be, some of you, your job is not where you thought it'd be. You're like, I did not think I'd be here at 2020. I thought I'd be much further along. You need to stop for a moment and stop telling God all the reasons why everything stinks and start telling God how good he is, and start praising him for who he is even before he's done the thing that you want him to do. That's faith. You know, when we no longer could meet inside and there was like all this stuff happening, and we're like, okay, this virus, and then we're like, okay, is it that bad? 2 weeks to slow the curve, and then we're like, wait a minute, and now it's all this different data coming out, and you're like, where do I even hang my hat? Like, I don't believe that, but logic says this, and what's this news saying, and what's it's a it's election year. We're all kind of, and then I'm down the rabbit hole on Facebook, and I'm looking at all these different things. I'm like, well, you know what? I think we can all agree one thing. We don't have all the answers. But aren't you glad we serve a God who does? He's a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than all you can ask, think, or imagine according to his power at work within you. That's the God that we serve. He's praiseworthy. I love what Psalm 34 says. David says, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. Have you guys just made that decision yet in your life? Like, no matter what happens, I'm praising God. You know, the hardest part of any plan is just deciding on the plan. You're worked out. You're like, what am I going to do? Am I going to do CrossFit? Am I going to do, I don't know, just get up and start moving every day. Just make a decision today that no matter what happens, I'm going to praise God. No matter who gets elected, I'm going to praise God. No matter what happens in this situation with my kids, I'm going to praise God no matter what. David says, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will constantly speak of his glories and of his grace. Why? Because glory is what our lives are intended to do. We're actually supposed to magnify God's love to a dark world. We are supposed to be recipients of God's grace, his lavished love upon us, and then we're supposed to show people, man, God could use anybody and he wants to use me, and he does so not because I'm good enough, but because he's good enough. I love what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for your life in Christ Jesus. So no matter what's going on in your life, he's saying, give thanks. Here's what praise does. It magnifies things. My wife says she loves my smile. She likes my lips. What's up, girl? Where you at? I can magnify my lips, my smile for my wife Stacy, or I can magnify the wrinkles in my eyes, next to my eyes. Get those from my dad. See, praise magnifies whatever it is it's pointed at. See, it's like a magnifying glass for your life. So listen, when you think about your life, you think about praise, it's the great magnifier. It actually enlarges whatever it is that you're focusing on. So you could focus on all the crud and all the junk and all the stuff that you don't like about your life and all the things you can't control and all the things you read online and that coworker said, and I can't believe she would do that, and I can't believe he wouldn't do that, and why, and how. And you could be so magnifying the wrong things. Or you could magnify the Lord through your praise, that you can actually enlarge the Son, the S-O-N, the Son of God in your life through your praise. So we're gonna try this together. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to stand up if you can. If you're at home, stand to your feet. We're gonna practice making God big, even though there's not always a reason for him to be big. Sometimes we're like, God, I don't feel like this is, I need this. I don't feel like magnifying God, but guess what? I'm going to do it anyways. David says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And he delivered me from all my fears. So I'm going to read to you the last psalm of the Bible. I'm going to magnify this in your life right now together. We're going to magnify God, and I want you to do me a favor. If you feel comfortable, I want you to praise God like you've never praised him before. I want you to worship God and make him known. I want them to hear us all the way down in Grover Beach. I want us to be people that praise God when it's raining or when it's sunny. I want us to be people that praise God no matter what. Psalm 150 says this. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Surpassing greatness. Come on, praise. clash of cymbals. Come on. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Come on, church. Let's praise the Lord.
You turn morning to dancing.
Come on.
You turn beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory.
Literally give your praise to God. I know for some of you like, this is weird. I don't care. Just press into it. Let's magnify God today and watch as you trade your heaviness, that spirit of heaviness, for happiness as you magnify King Jesus. Let's praise him one more time. Come on.
You turn morning to dancing.
Come on. Tomorrow morning, you're like, you know what? I'm going to wake up. Instead of grabbing my iPhone and looking at Instagram and looking at all the things that make me heavy on Facebook and Twitter and who said what at this convention, who said what, who didn't say that at this convention, what's happening in this part of the country. And I get it. We're not supposed to be ignorant. We're supposed to pray. We do pray for everything happening in our country. But can I just encourage you? That is a spirit of praise. God is not done yet. That he wants something greater for your life, and it comes through praising him when you don't feel like it all the times. Do you feel that kind of leave, that heaviness kind of leave when you begin to lift up and magnify God? And for some of you here today, you're like, I don't have that in my life. Maybe you're here today and you're like, I don't have that. And I'll tell you why. There's something called sin, and it disrupts that relationship with God. And no one, I don't have to tell you what your sin is. You already know what it is. You know where you've been falling short. And for those of us that have Jesus, it's not that we're better. Actually, as a matter of fact, we've recognized that we are not better. We can't do it. We need Christ Jesus to be our Savior. He's the one that paid for our sins. And if you're here today and you're like, I don't have that kind of joy, I don't have that praise in my life, maybe sin has been ruling your life. You've been giving it in. And I want to give you a chance right now to make a very simple yet significant decision. To let Jesus come into your heart. To actually allow him to be the Lord of your life. You actually give him control. You say, God, I want you to be my Lord. And I want to encourage you to do that right now. So I'm going to pray for you. Would you bow your heads? Close your eyes. Father, I thank you for every single person here that can, at the sound of my voice. God, I thank you for this beautiful, beautiful venue. But God, I pray for those that maybe are feeling heavy today and they don't know what to do. And maybe during this time they're like, man, I don't know if I'm right with you. So if that's you and you want to make this decision today, God wants to give you rest. God wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your God. He wants to be the person you go to when you don't know what else to do. He is your present help in time of need. He is God, and He wants to have a relationship with you through His Son, Jesus. If that's you, I just want you to do something very simple yet significant. I want you on the count of three just to raise your hand. Throw your hand up, put it down. On the count of three so I know who I'm praying for. If you want to receive Christ, you want me to pray for you, you're like, yeah, that's me, Pastor, pray for me. You want to give your life to Jesus today. On the count of three, just do this real simple. One, two, three, pop your hand up real quick. Amen, amen, God, amen, God, amen, amen, amen. Yeah, anyone else back there? Amen. Yeah, hands going up everywhere. Anyone else, just pop your hand up, say, that's me, right here. Yeah, amen, amen. Wow, wow. I want to lead you in a simple prayer. This is not a magical prayer. This is you just telling God, I surrender to you. So say this out loud with me. Just repeat after me. Even if you said this prayer years ago, nobody prays alone here at Active Church. We're a community. So say this out loud. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your Son, Jesus.
Your Son, Jesus.
Today.
Today.
I give you my life. I surrender it to you. I believe that Jesus is Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for my new life in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,